Hello, human peoples. You're listening to the podcast network of Gamefully Unemployed. Support us and gain access to great exclusive podcasts like Fox Mulder is a Maniac, Tom and Jeff Watch Batman, Star Trek The Next Futurama, and our latest show, Spiel Boys. Head over to patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. We do game streaming, movie nights with our patrons every Friday night, and you can even commission your own podcast about anything you want. Literally anything, within reason, and we have to do it. You are quite frankly out of excuses not to go visit patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. That's patreon.com/gamefully unemployed, which is spelled like it sounds.
Oh,
hey, you're attacking the first diamond here with Susie and the Squid here in the morning.
Oh, why this episode?
I don't know why that happened there.
Hi, everybody.
Hello, everyone.
My name is David Bell.
My name is Tom Ryman.
And we just watched The First Omen.
The Foist Omen.
Yeah. Which, it's not. It's not. It's like the 20th, according to the movie. It's
right.
Like the 20th.
It's like the 15th Omen.
There's so many omens. Too many.
Yeah.
You don't have to be afraid. God has great plans for you. This child is his way.
It's not an omen at this point.
Yeah.
It's like documented.
It's not a fucking omen. Jesus Christ, there's so many omens.
Yeah.
Tom, what is your relationship? Just buttering us up, warming us up. What's your omen relationship? Are you a big omen fan? You medium? What's your deal?
I'd call myself like mid omen fan. I really, really like the Richard Donner original. I don't know if I've ever seen the sequels all the way through. It's kind of like Jaws. I'm really just kind of like, it's the original and that's kind of the only one that exists for me.
Would you believe that the sequels are not great?
That's what I've heard.
Yeah, I grew up on The Omen. It was, my dad was he is a big fan. He didn't even know there was a new Omen. I had to tell him. But
oh, how exciting for him.
So like, it was like, I went and saw the 2006 one with him and my sister, because we basically grew up, me and my sister, watching the Omen films. I remember the Omen 4 being really scary. I watched it recently. It is not. It is not scary, and it is fact bad.
I didn't know they got as high as 4. I thought it stopped at 3.
It's a TV movie.
Oh, that's a good sign.
Yeah. The second one's bad. Third one's got Sam Neill, who I realized he's like the Dan Stevens of his time. I hadn't thought about this, but Sam Neill is all over horror.
Yeah, he's in a lot of weird horror movies before Jurassic Park.
And after, but yeah.
And after, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, so that's all to say, I'm a fairly big fan of the original. They've never been good after that. I would say the Omen remake was better than it had any right to be.
It was fine.
It still did. Yeah, it did some shit that pissed me off, but it well, it did those like jump scare dreams that it felt like they tried to make it more modern, where they're like, we need jump scares, because the original doesn't really have jump scares.
No, that's not what its vibe is. And I want to talk about that with this movie.
Yeah. So, going into it, how did you like the first Omen?
I thought it was okay. I was really, really impressed with the directing, with the filmmaking of it. Like, the way this movie is shot and the way it's directed is really good.
Cinematography is great.
Yeah, there's some cool stuff in here.
Music.
The way everything is put together, the production design, the shots, the music, it all hangs together. Very spooky. It's very cool. It's unique. It feels like a throwback to like a 70s style, but also, it's its own thing. It does like some weird things that they didn't necessarily do in the 70s, but it also does this like real dramatic zooms that kind of went out of style after the 70s.
There are shots and sequences that straight up are like, this could have been a movie in the 70s. Yep. Like if the film grain was just a little worse, you know, like if it looked a little shittier,
if it looked a little older, straight up 70s. But I thought the script was kind of weak. Like it's unfortunately, it's not very scary. And I think it's because there's not a clear direction for the dread to build in, which is a big factor in the first movie. Like, all the people that start dying around Damien in the original Omen, it's all building towards something pretty clear, right? Like, somebody comes up to Gregory Peck pretty early. I can't remember if it's the priest or somebody else.
I believe it's the priest. That's Ralph Ineson in this one.
Essentially, yeah.
Yeah.
To tell him what the deal is pretty early. Like, your son's the Antichrist. You need to destroy him or else before this date or else it's going to be the end of the world and you're all going to die. So we have we very clearly kind of know what it's building towards from jump. And in this movie, we don't really know what the threat is or like what we're supposed to be dreading. So they're doing all
That's
of this suspenseful filmmaking, but like it was never clear to me like what it was all building towards until very late in the film.
First of all, I think it's literally the priest. What is the priest's name in the first Omen?
Father Brennan.
Yeah. So it is. It's literally the guy who in the original Omen gets fucking spiked.
Gets speared
by Satan.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is apparently a go-to move.
Yeah, that's another thing I was kind of like. This movie doesn't have like the photographs. Like, it doesn't have that sort of like build around like, oh, people are getting marked. Like, there's this the final destination aspect of like the invisible light hand of evil or whatever. It doesn't have that element in it.
Did you not know that this was the lead up to Damien's birth?
No, I did.
Okay. Because I do agree.
But the
with
characters
you.
Don't know that.
Yes. So this movie, I think, did a lot of really good things. Things that felt like The Omen to me, or felt like extensions of that world. Like, my biggest fear from the trailer was that it was all going to be the same stuff. So, like, you mentioned the photographs, that would have been cool. Another thing missing from this is the use of animals, dogs specifically. But at the same time, I'm like, well, if they did all the same stuff, what's the point, you know? That said, I agree with everything you said. This is very well directed, really well made. I think what it comes down to me is like specific story points feel like it kind of... It's weird because at some point, like, for example, the last names in this are literally the gravestones in the Omen in the graveyard. There's a really good attention to detail in some places. And then in other places, I felt like they just threw it all out. What I mean is, for example, the scene in the trailer, it's all for you. So the nun lights herself on fire, hangs herself, right? That is a very clear parallel to the original. Where the nanny does that.
It's
she doesn't light herself on fire.
Except she's on fire. Yeah, that's the only difference.
And except, well, no, there's one big difference. If you remember in the original Omen, the nanny does that so that they have to hire the new nanny. She's doing it for a reason. Satan is compelling her to kill herself so that they hire the new nanny who is going to be there to protect Satan or the Antichrist. Like, she's specifically in on it. In this movie, she doesn't do it for a reason. She just does it. And like that was the stuff that kind of bothered me. Maybe there is a reason I'm not thinking of, but it felt like they were like, well, we better put this in here. Why is she doing it?
I don't know.
Because it's scary. So like I guess what I'm saying is that this was really well executed, but some of the plot points kind of,
yeah.
I was like, why is that happening? Or it almost felt like the end felt almost Marvel-esque, where they're like, they have to like...
It's very Marvel-esque, yeah.
Where they're like, we found a father, and it's the Gregory Peck picture. And it's like, am I supposed to clap? Like, what? Like, it felt like... I guess what it is it ultimately felt a little pointless to me, because we know what's going to happen. And they tried to avoid it a little bit. Because in the original Omen, they reveal that the mother died,
They say the mother was a jackal because the father is Satan.
You're right.
Like,
so
that also kind of like confused me in this one, where it's like the father's a jackal and the mother is one of these nuns. They just keep cycling through until they get an Antichrist.
I get why they had to retcon it a little bit, but there's just certain stuff. Like, for example, if you remember, the priest in the original Omen, I believe, has the Mark of the Beast on his thigh. And in this, it's revealed that the Mark of the Beast is actually like a barcode for all the Antichrist attempts, which means that the priest must have been one. If we are to believe that, and it's weird that he doesn't bring that up in this movie, but I guess he's hiding it. So there's some weirdness. There's some weirdness with the plots.
Yeah, and that's kind of what I was talking about, what you pointed out. Like, the nanny kills herself for a reason, and, like, it kills the priest for a reason, and it cuts... oh, shit. Professor Jordan Perry. Why am I blanking on his name?
David Warner.
David Warner. It cuts David Warner's head off for a reason, because he's picking up the daggers.
Yeah.
But in this... So there wasn't that sense of, like... It didn't have the feeling of that overwhelming oppressive force surrounding them, like that dread that was like, that's kind of what I was talking about.
Right. Yeah.
Because it was sort of aimless. I never really understood where the suspense, what direction the suspense was going in. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I mean, I appreciate the movie doing this, is that they reveal fairly early that our main character. So the plot, for people who, for some reason, didn't watch the movie, is this new nun comes into this orphanage, and there's this young woman there who's drawing creepy pictures, which I did not like, because I was like, come on, yeah, creepy pictures.
It's like real.
again, like, my issue with this is more about some of the story points and not the execution. And for the record, I feel like we're immediately being negative. I mostly really liked this movie. It was fun. I had a lot of fun. I'm just a nitpicky Omen fan, so what are you going to do? So this new priest comes in, and fucking Bill Nighy is her mentor. And
because she grew up in the orphanage in the church, and he's been like her father figure as she's grown up through the church.
Yeah, and if you know the Omen, you already kind of know what's up, right? Where you're like, well, they're all bad. Because the original Omen, the idea is it was out of a church, or out of a, it's like a, it was out of like an orphanage that burnt down. They go and find it. So it was priests and nuns who birthed the Antichrist. So it's like, yeah, this is going to be all the motherfuckers who are birthing the Antichrist. So I don't know. There was that sense of impending doom where I knew, like,
also, well, if you know Bill Nighy in these movies, you're just like, well, he's bad.
Yeah. but the reveal. So basically, Ralph Ineson shows up and he's like, it's that girl. She's going to birth the Antichrist. And the reveal is that, no, it's actually our main character, the nun. And that I saw coming, because, like, why else is she in the movie but to birth the Antichrist?
And, you know, she bonds with the angry girl, and they have like similar things. Like, she has to be restrained. She's like, oh, I had to be restrained. She sees things. It's like, oh, I used to see things. It's like,
but to the movie's credit,
sounds like you're one of these little Antichrist moms.
To the movie's credit, they reveal that like right as the third act is happening. Like, they know that we know. You know, they're like, it's just they're waiting for the main character to catch up with everybody else. So. That's all to say that to me, I get what you mean, where it there wasn't this, I don't know. I felt it a little more than you, I guess, because I knew, like, okay, well, this is all heading towards her. She's here for a reason. They're not going to let her leave, you know, like, she doesn't know it yet, but she's essentially a specimen here. And they're birthing a jackal for her specifically. In a very gnarly scene. That's their NC-17 scene, obviously. Because this originally got an NC-17, and they were like, you know, fighting over frames, and it was that...
The jackal birth?
Yeah. Yeah, it was the jackal birth.
The jackal birth.
There's
a
jackal birth in this, folks.
That'll get you in hot water.
Yeah. The MPAA. Yeah, again, right down the barrel, jackal birth, like,
pretty intense.
Let's show it all. Yeah, it's pretty great.
This has a lot of really cool stuff in it, and I was really impressed with the directing, and man, there are so many shots and sequences that are just so creepy, just in the way they're assembled and the images that were shown. It's just the movie itself, like, ultimately doesn't work, or it didn't work on for me. And I think that's part of the reason why. I think that is the reason why. It's just, like, the suspense never really works, and it's because of those reasons you're pointing out, where it's kind of random, and it's just like it knows to, like, do the things from The Omen, but not for the same purpose. So it just kind of just seems like a bunch of, it seems more Final Destination than The Omen originally was, in some parts. But even that part's not a huge part of it. Like, there's not really that many people that die in that sort of Omen type way, which surprised me. I was expecting way more of that.
Oh yeah. I mean, in the original Omen, there's not that many deaths.
There's like 3 or 4.
But there are more, yeah. To the credit of the director and co-writer, Arkasha Stevenson, I probably fucked up her name, sorry about that. A lot of it felt like studio notes to me, especially the ending. The ending is the part that was the biggest kind of fart for me. Because... like, again, in the original Omen, basically the mother is dead. And I know why they didn't, because it feels like a bummer, but I was fully ready for this to end just with everybody's dead. You know, like the mother's dead, everything, and Damien goes off. Because, again, you know it's unavoidable. You know, like, okay, well, this is a prequel to the Omen. Damien's going to get born. Like, that's going to happen.
I detected some wiggle room because of the fact that they retconned the jackal thing.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, maybe they're just... I thought maybe this isn't like a mistake or a retcon. Maybe they're making room for them to have been like, oh, they just said it was a jackal because they don't... The mother got away and they fucked up.
Exactly, yeah. And that's why... because there is that mystery, that question mark of like... oh, was it the jackal in the grave? Was that really the jackal that was the mother?
But then that's sort of like, that's kind of like a fart on the first movie, because it's like, why is he the Antichrist then?
Right. Because his father was a jackal.
That was one of the things that, like, when I first saw The Omen as like a young teenager, that was one of the things that, like, conceptually really, like, what I found horrific was like, wow, like the fuck, that's fucked up, man. This movie from the 70s, they were talking about, yeah, this kid was the devil, fucked a jackal and had this kid. That's nuts. Like, that blew my mind.
Italian dude just railing a jackal with like a mustache, Mario mustache, all sweaty. I'm imagining Borat. Like, I'm picturing Borat.
Yeah, exactly. No, just the fact that that was in like a movie that Gregory Peck was in, like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that blew me away when I saw that for the first time.
For sure.
So it's kind of whack that they take that sort of.
I get it, because this is way better from, you know, we've had a lot of, you know, Rosemary's Baby, etc. Movies from this perspective of a woman with a pregnancy and the Antichrist.
There's a couple of Rosemary's Baby shots in this.
Oh, yeah. So, like, I get the retcon, because it is less scary if it's some guy and they're like, you're destined to fuck this dog. It's like, all right. That's weird. That was just funnier to me. It's just some bro that they get too drunk, fucks a dog on a dare, and they're like, ha ha, you made the Antichrist. So I don't know. I get the retcon.
Dudes.
What bugs me is this reveal at the end. So what they do is, yes, there was a fire, right? So they can, it's not a plot hole, like you're saying, which is like the church could have just said, like, I guess she's dead or fucked up. But it's not just that, but she has twins. So there's like a Luke and Leia situation all of a sudden.
Sure is, yeah.
And that's the thing. It felt very like Marvel Disney all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Where at the end, she's in this ranch with like these special boys, like these two young women who are like Antichrist crusaders. She's got a shotgun. She's like, I'll be ready when they come. And I'm like, what are we setting up here? Like,
what is this?
We don't need a sequel tease.
Are we setting like an alternate Omen, like, cinematic universe? Right.
Are we going to do a Star Trek like fucking situation where it's like an alternate universe? Because the studio clearly was like, we want to be able to make sequels.
Make more,
it's like,
yeah.
The sequel is called The Omen. It was already made. That's the point of a prequel.
It's a prequel. Like, that's what says,
yeah, prequels, like, listen, if you want to you can't have your cake and eat it too here. Like, you're making a prequel. So they try to make this, like, yeah, alternate timeline that will inevitably result in some terrible sequels. And so, like, that was the shit that was, like, it felt like it couldn't end like a horror film. It wanted to be like a superhero film. All of a sudden, and that was really weird to me. But everything up into that, I thought was pretty good. You know, like, I don't know. Again, there's the issue of, like, why are they doing it? I get why, like, that weird guy got killed by the car. A lot of car death in this, because he was going to tell her.
The guy she danced with.
Yeah.
So he was in on it? That was...
Yeah.
Okay.
So she's getting the gamed. And I actually like this idea, which is that... So the reveal, I really... So she's going to become a nun. She has this, like, cool roommate, hot nun roommate, who I kind of figured was in on it just because I'm like, I don't believe you're going to be a nun.
Yeah. Yes. You don't seem like a real person.
Yeah, and she's like, before we become nuns, let's go out of the town. Let's have one last fucking hurrah. And they it's the 70s. There's protests. There's counterculture. And they go to, like, a, you know, shitty, like, 70s
like a disco
club.
Yeah.
Disco. And she meets a guy, and she gets blackout drunk. And then she wakes up. And you kind of... I know I didn't think too much of it at the time. I thought, like, oh, something happened. Something happened. But I didn't think about it. And so
yeah,
it's a fun
really,
reveal
I,
that
I
later...
I didn't really think about it either. I didn't attach the Rosemary's Baby thing to it.
Right. Because you realize later, like, oh, that's when she fucked a jackal. And that's really that's really cool. Because that's I think that's creepy where it's like this terrible thing. It already happened.
Like
you didn't even
realize
it.
A while ago, yeah.
Yeah. And they do this sequence where she's, like, floating with that smile, and I was like, this is fucking freaky.
Man. When she, like, goes to the elevator, like, descending.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah. There's so many awesome... That random just shot of spiders swarming over something.
Yeah.
That, like, fades
like
into a
fade.
Shot of her with the kids. It's...
Very fucking 70s. Yeah. And so, like, and then they do this shot when she's giving birth where you see all the people in cloaks and you realize, like, oh, it's everybody. Like, that, I liked that reveal of, like, it's pretty much everybody
yeah.
who has been gaslighting
everyone
her.
She's interacted with, yeah.
Yeah.
Real howling sitch.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So, I don't know. I thought those beats were good.
I liked all the parts of this movie. It's just, I don't think it ultimately hangs together in as something that, like, worked for me.
Yeah. No, I don't disagree. Because I think there was just some awkward story beats.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's all in that. It's all in the story beats. And in the script, the filmmaking's awesome. I can't wait to see what this director makes next.
Oh, I can't fucking wait.
Yeah,
yeah. There's a few jump scares that remind me of the 2006 where I was like, eh, but like it's modern. I really like obviously the shot where she's praying and it zooms out and all the candles have formed
teeth around her. Yeah, and it's
that
like
is
mimicked in the drawing she finds on the floor later.
Yeah, that is straight out like that felt like an extension of The Omen.
Yeah.
What I mean by that is like it felt new to me, but it also felt very familiar, right? Where it's like this satanic imagery. I know the Omen 4 has a lot of upside down cross imagery that's like some of it's a little hidden, some of it's a little less hidden.
Oh, like hidden Mickeys.
Yeah. No, it is. And there's all these upside down crosses in the fourth Omen, which is a cool idea. And so, like, they're doing a little of that in this, you know? And then I liked the curtain scare. I didn't think I would, but I liked the curtain scare. It's one of the first scares. She's in her room, and there's this blowing curtain, and she hangs up her little nun uniform, her nun armor.
Her nun armor.
And
yeah.
The moment she hangs it up, you know, like,
yeah,
that thing's gonna
come
alive.
And it looks like something, yeah.
Yeah, they do it on purpose. They know mm-hmm. we know. And yeah. So it keeps staying in the background of all these shots, and you're, like, just waiting for it. And again, you know it's going to come, but they do this curtain flowing and the curtain flicks up in front of it and it turns into a old woman. And that's all kind of expected. What I didn't expect is how they presented the jump scare of the woman going like, "Bah!" And then that's it. No, like, noises. And that felt very old school to me. That felt like that noise she makes felt like an old jump scare. It was kind of cool.
Yeah.
She made this crabby fucking... Yeah.
There was a long shot before it that I really liked.
Yeah.
Too.
And again, it was one of those moments where I saw it coming and I was like, I'm not going to like this. And then I was fully expecting, like, this is going to be shit. This jump scare is going to be shit. And then I really liked it.
Yeah, it was all right. It was all right.
I like the intro. I like our little fucking cameo
with
there.
Charles Dance. That was pretty great, actually.
That was another case where I didn't, because when I realized what they were doing, I was like, oh, this is in the first one. Like they have these two priests meeting and there's these construction guys who, boy, they cause a lot of death in Omen films. Like construction guys must feel like shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they're bringing up stained glass, and sure enough, it breaks.
They're drunk as hell trying to build a church.
Yeah, that's how you do it.
Yeah.
And this metal post comes flying down just like the Omen, and you're like, oh, they're doing this again? And then both priests are standing there, and he's like, you okay? And Charles like, yeah, I'm good. And he turns around and walks away, and we don't see it. We see him walking towards the camera. And the other priest is like, Father. And he turns around. And when he turns around, you realize, like, oh, back of his head is torn open. Yeah. Like, completely.
Pipe ripped a canyon in his head.
Yep. And then he's like, how you doing? And he says something like, I'm fine. And he smiles. Yeah. And there's blood on his teeth.
Yep. Just in his like, center teeth. It's such... Yeah. Mm. Great.
That's
shot. There's
shit.
Great shots in this.
Yeah.
I wish the movie was scarier ultimately. But there's so many cool, memorable shots that are creepy and man, so much the filmmaking is awesome.
I would argue that's like the original. Like the original is creepier. Mm-hmm. Like it's scary conceptually, right? And so like this one has a lot of moments that aren't necessarily like hugely scary in the moment. But are like, I'll never forget the fucking face she's making when she's floating around.
Oh yeah,
you know, like there's
man, yeah.
some stuff there. You know, I think that, like, if it was too much jump scares, obviously it's not like The Omen, and there's already too many. I think there is some imagery that, like, they unfortunately when you do see the jackal in the fire,
yeah,
it reminded me of like The Mummy. Like it's just a CGI.
We didn't need to see the jackal.
Yeah, they know not to show that much of it. It's like for just a second, but even that second,
and
I'm
it's
like,
completely
eh.
engulfed, so you really can't even really see it. But it's still kind of like, yeah, you blew it, you guys blew it.
Yeah, just don't show it. Just don't show it, you know?
Yeah, just show the tapestry with the two eyes on it burning. Like, everything they showed up
the sounds,
to that
yeah.
point was fine. Like, I was like, oh, that's gnarly. Like, when she's staring into the archway and it's burning. And, like, it took me a second. Like, it didn't click at first, which I just thought it was, she was just getting overwhelmed by the horror of the situation. And it's like, yeah, that's part of it. But she's also looking to where they keep the fucking, the sex jackal. Yeah.
The sex jackal. Good old sex jackal. You gotta have one.
Yeah. If you want to have an antichrist, listen, the first thing you need to do is bone up on how to kennel a sex jackal.
Yeah.
That's what you're gonna have to do.
There's a guy, I think there's a guy in South Carolina that breeds sex jackals that you can give him a call. You don't really want to interact with the guy, as you know, he's a sex jackal breeder. But, like, you know, he'll hook you up. He'll hook you up with a good sex jackal.
Yeah, he's the Joe Exotic of sex jackals.
Yeah. I want to talk about the after the car crash.
Yeah.
Get some fun sequence.
The car crash that knocks three of the characters out of the film and we never see them again. Well, except for Ralph Ineson. Ralph Ineson, we see it again at the end.
It's weird that Satan keeps using cars. I liked the idea that they're like, yeah, I mean, she's going to try to get away. And they're like, we got to get this fucking baby out of me. Like, I'm glad the characters had that conclusion, you know? But they're stopped short. And then she goes outside the car. And I just have to shout out the movie Possession, because I just watched Possession. And if you've seen the movie Possession, you know exactly where they took this from, because it's straight out of the movie Possession, where she starts like convulsing and like drooling and foaming. There's a sequence in Possession that is this, except she doesn't get like suddenly pregnant like they do in this, but that I thought was gnarly. It was a good extension of that bit, which is like,
she gets pregnant and her water breaks.
In
this,
all in like 30 seconds.
Yeah. It's gnarly.
Yeah. She's doing a great job.
Yeah. I hadn't seen Possession. I didn't know they lifted it from that. So that's a bummer.
Which also has Sam Neill. I don't think it's a bummer, because in Possession, there's a sequence where it's hard to beat the sequence in Possession where she's in a tunnel. It's like England. So it's like one of those weird subway tunnels that, I don't know, doesn't matter. It's this like oneer for like a minute of this woman just giving it her all, just this incredible sequence of her being like convulsing and growling and shit, and she starts foaming, and it's very similar. But I guess I'm just like, if you're gonna borrow from any film, do it from that, because this still took the actress having to do that, you know what I mean, where it's like she's still doing it, and I'm like, oh shit, she's doing the Possession thing, but like, yeah, I'll watch someone else do it. Like, it's still impressive to watch another actress do this.
It's gnarly. It's an intense scene.
Yeah, it is. And it's all kind of based on her performance. I like how much of this movie is kind of hinged on facial expressions or specific performances. I think that's important.
Like in the jackal birth scene, the lady giving birth is, man, it's mostly her face, and it is... That scene is fucking scary. Like that really made me uncomfortable.
Oh yeah. Yeah. So basically our nun is outside watching the birthing, and this pregnant woman comes in, and she's like, she's not screaming like she's giving birth. She's screaming like she's dying. And then they give her laughing gas, and you see it in the trailer, and she starts laughing and smiling and looking at her. And then,
screaming at the same time.
Right. And they're doing this POV shot where you keep almost just seeing the birth, where she's, our main character outside is like trying to get a peek, trying to see this. And then you see this fucking hand come out, this giant fucking monster.
A little
hand. Yeah. And then she faints.
Yeah.
And they,
appropriate
they're basically
response.
Like, yeah.
I remember
and
thinking
it's like,
that in the theater, like when it cuts to her reaction, she just goes like, and just completely falls out. I was like, it's fair. Fair.
Yeah, that's fair. And then Bill Nighy later says, he's like, yeah, it happens all the time. People faint watching childbirth. So she sort of like chops it up to like, oh, I didn't actually see what I thought I saw.
I didn't really see a mutant crawl out of that lady.
Yeah. Which was fine. I think, I think it's fine that she gives it the benefit of the doubt. I do think they could have found a subtler way to have her come to that priest.
Yeah.
The thing that makes her go to the priest is that it's all for you. And the problem with that scene is it's very loud, and I still can't figure out why she does it.
The only thing I can think of is to clear the way for her to befriend Carlita, the problem child that we think is supposed to be the mother of the Antichrist.
You know, I think that's supposed to be it, because she's sort of in the way. Like when she's approaching her, that other woman is sort of, she's protective of the girl too.
Yeah.
And then she, I guess that is why she did it.
I guess.
It's
not clear. It feels pretty random. And it's not, no, I guess you're right. I guess Paolo gets hit because he's trying to tell her to look for the mark on her head.
He gets cold feet. It feels like they like paid him. Like it feels like he's not a true believer. That guy. I do like, I mean, it was kind of silly, but I liked when he gets pinned and then she's like hugging him and then realizes that she's only holding half of him.
She pulled him in half. Yeah.
Yeah, it was fun. That, I don't know. I actually do think that car death in the It's All For You, I think one of the things that bothers me is they both feel so similar to the original. Like,
well, the All For You is like almost identical. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm like, come on, Satan. Don't you have more moves?
The, even though it was cool and a pretty awesome twist on it, the Charles Dance thing in the beginning is still the spear
it's
lance
like
from the
Satan's
Omen.
Satan's a Mortal Kombat character.
Right, he's got
his finishes.
Right, he has his standby classics. He's got to play the hits.
Yeah, and I'm like, man, I kind of feel like Satan should be more creative. I don't know. I get the church thing because he's probably like that gets me every time. Like he's like, I love picking off them priests in front of churches. It's very funny. But it happens a little too much in this movie.
Yeah,
like. The All For You, like, I almost wish she didn't kill herself and was killed or something. But they wanted a moment that would drive the main character to the priest that was telling her, like, this girl is the Antichrist or going to birth it.
To drive her back towards this priest who is telling her crazy shit.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, something crazy has to happen to make her go, like, I wonder if that creepy
priest
was
right. Maybe there
was
something
right.
to that crazy shit.
Yeah,
perhaps I should hear him out.
Yeah, I get it to an extent, but like, I almost feel like I don't know. There's a lot of lore in this that's also like kind of gets in the way because I think they probably were like she has to get to him early so he can tell her more stuff. But I almost wish it was like this slow burn until the third act and have her go to the priest then, like when she's finally like I wish it was more. Little things slowly building up, I guess.
Yeah.
Because it
like a drag
feels,
me to hell scenario.
Yeah, I feel. Yeah. It feels a little abrupt. I don't know. It's hard because it's like, what is happening to her? Like, shouldn't they? If they want her to birth, it's weird because it's like if she was born specifically to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Why aren't they letting her in on it from the start? You have a baby, right? You know how easy it is to indoctrinate a child?
Yeah.
I do it all the time. It's so easy. Why do they let them out into the world and, like, then have to, like, catch them again, you know?
I don't know. That's a good question. And that's, I mean,
it feels...
it's, you know, it's, again, it's, the movie switches focus with that, or at least the story does, so that's again part of why it didn't work for me. It was hard to get, like, I didn't really understand, like, what the stakes were. I mean, I did because obviously I know this is a prequel to The Omen, so I know, like, the stakes are the Antichrist is about to be born, but, like, for these characters it just never, I don't know, it,
I think
I wish it was less, I wish the script had been better.
Yeah, I think they could have simplified it. I think that, so they do this, they're like birthing babies that have the mark of the beast. I don't know how they're birthing those babies. They're like genetically making them. It's like an X-Files. Like she finds all these folders with all the practice babies. And then they're like, we're birthing a baby to then have sex with a jackal to then birth the Antichrist. And it's like, that's a lot of weird steps. Like I feel like they could have simplified it as like she's not special. No one's special until Damien. So like, they just need a womb basically. Like, and maybe the womb, maybe it's like, oh, they have to be born at this certain window or this certain time. Do something like that. Like, oh, they do need something unique about them. And then the idea is like she's a candidate, you know, like they bring her in and realize like, oh, she's a good candidate or something like that. I think I just think there's too much lore. There was too much like I have to go down in this crypt and look through all these files and we have to like explain.
Yeah, because it like like you were saying in the original, it's like there was a fire in the orphanage, and Damien came out of that. And it's like, it's like, well, clearly they summoned the devil to impregnate that jackal, and he killed everyone because I guess it's the devil, and he just, right, that's why, like, it burned down. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what it is. It's like,
it didn't need to be more complicated than that. We could have been building towards that ceremony. Yeah.
Yeah. Their motivations are the idea is they're not Satanists. They are the church, and the idea, their plan is they want to create an antichrist to almost bring about the end of the world, so everybody will flock back to the church, because kids don't like the church these days.
It's Tilda Swinton's plan from Constantine.
Right. And it's like, I don't know, man, just do a PR campaign or something.
Yeah, do the buddy Christ. Firm?
Yeah. Like, it's a lot of steps. And it's like, surely they know, like, not a good idea. So, like, it would have been better. Like, I thought when he's like, he says something like, there are two churches. And he basically says, there's, like, good church. And then there's the church.
Which then knew there are two churches.
Yeah. And then he says, there's the church that doesn't really care about the religion. They just want power. And I really wish he had just said, like, yeah, and there's Satans. They're Satan worshippers. Like, they're the Satanists. Like, the church is infiltrated by Satanists,
yeah, it's,
who are
it,
using...
It was like, yeah, it felt like there was like this convoluted effort to make the people who are responsible for this, the villains, not Satanist, but like badly misguided Christians.
Right.
Which was so weird. It's like, what?
I would have accepted Satanists because, like, Satanists and priests in my head, they all use the same equipment.
Yeah.
What I mean by that is, like, they all need the same temples. They all need the same churches.
They all need, like,
the same
books
text.
And, like...
So it's like, yeah, they would be embedded in the church.
Objects and shit and rituals.
Yeah, because where else are you going to get that shit, yeah, you know? It's like, you know, it's like how Disney has, like, a lot of gunpowder and stuff, where they're, like, they're using it different. They, like, Disney has a lot of the same shit that, like, the military uses for different reasons. It's like, yeah, they're using the same shit for different ends. So just have them Satanists be like, you know, we don't want to build our own churches and shit, let's just use all their stuff. I don't know, but like, they don't have to explain any of that. It just would have been simpler if it was like, yeah, they're hiding in plain sight, they're actual Satanists running this orphanage, and they're all pretending to be, you know, nuns and priests.
Mm-hmm.
That would have been fine.
Yeah,
I think it got very bogged down with the lore stuff. Again, it felt like it more and more. It's feeling like episode one, where there's like library scenes and like, this is the deep lore and this is the what we're doing and like special boy shit. And it's like, why can't it just be a ceremony that makes Satan, and Satan has chosen her or something like that? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Where it's like, this could have been just Satan watching and finding the one he wants, and it's her, and that's like all the haunting and stuff before that. I don't know. This is too much. Yeah, it's overwritten, I guess.
Yeah, in some ways, yeah. I don't know. It just didn't. I've already said my piece on it.
Yeah, I just think, I mean, I'm still trying to figure it out in my head, because we started with, I can't stress this enough, like, I'm going to be watching this again.
Yeah,
I enjoyed a lot of
it. The filmmaking is great.
It's really good.
And there's some creepy stuff in it. It's just the movie itself is ultimately just kind of fine.
We didn't talk about the music. The music was a shocker for me. And what I mean by that is they begin with that opening with fucking... what's his face there? Charles Dance. And they cut to the title, and I just assumed they were going to straight up do the Omen.
They never do.
Right from the jump.
They never use it.
Well, no, they do. They do when Damien is born. Until then, the music slowly, it's like starts very happy, and it gets more and more dark. And then when she gives birth, and they say, it's a boy, the theme cuts in. And I was like, ooh, what a good use of the theme there, you know? Because
I didn't notice the dominoes, the
that comes in right there.
Oh, I didn't notice.
And he says, "It's a boy." It like blasts in, which like I just really like, because they're, the music is basically like treating it like a prequel, where it's like, yeah, it's not the Omen yet. It's not the Omen yet. Now it's the Omen. There he is. That's his theme. Like that. It's like Vader's theme. That's what they're doing.
Yeah.
Is like Damien is just their Vader. Which,
so yeah, that's what they're doing at the end. Ralph Ineson is going to put a team together to fight Damien.
It's, I wish they, man, there's so many good little things. I wish they kept it more standalone. I wish it was just, I wish they didn't feel the need to try to like tease something.
Right, because you're already like doing a prequel to The Omen is already ambitious enough. Like, it doesn't need to have this additional ambition of like, it's got to have, be able to have sequels and, you know.
Right, and like, it's not getting that many, like, this didn't do well.
No.
And I think that's for a few reasons. One, I don't think The Omen is huge in people's minds anymore.
Maybe not.
I also think that after The Exorcist, The Beginning.
Oh, geez,
honestly,
yeah.
I think that people are just, is that what that was called? Or is that the other one?
I don't remember.
The new Exorcist.
The newest Exorcist, yeah.
I think people are just like, they see this and they assume it's going to be bad too. I think there's a few reasons, and it's not really the movie's fault. But I think that's even more reason to not try to make this a franchise, where it's like, listen, you're not even sure people are going to see this. Just make a solid Omen prequel, you know? Because I do think that this is a prequel. Like, I think this is an idea worthy of a prequel, being that, like, the ceremony, the orphanage, the all this stuff that was hinted at in the first movie, you could make a movie of, you know? And they did. And for the most part, there was a lot of really solid things. It's just like, why try to make it bigger than that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think that's
why
right.
Why inject all this lore?
Yeah.
I really think that's all,
all this
that's
additional
like the
crap.
Core of the
yeah.
issue. Yeah.
And that's so often the mistake that these movies make.
It's weird to do it for horror, because I think those two things are fundamentally opposed, which is like, we've talked about this a bunch, where it's like, in a Marvel movie, when they kill off a character, or they pretend to kill off a character, but we know, like, well, they'll be back. They're making another season of WandaVision or something like that.
Yeah.
Then it's like, it's silly. And in horror, you really need to avoid that, right? Because, like, in horror, you need to feel like everybody's at risk. So, like, this idea of, like, she will return. And I'm like, I don't like that.
I don't need it. I don't need it.
Yeah. Like, the, I don't know. The moment, so, the, like, the moment she gives birth to twins, I realized, fuck, she's going to live. And I don't like that in a horror movie, to think that, right? To go like, oh, she's going to live. None of this matters, because she's going to take that baby and leave, right? Like, that's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And so I think that fucked it up a bit. Otherwise, great, though. Like, this director, truly amazing job.
Yeah. Very, very well done.
Yeah.
In terms of the filmmaking.
Yeah, I'm scared that because this doesn't do well, she won't get any other opportunities. But, like, I'm probably not. She'll probably get more opportunities.
Yeah, I'm sure. Well, I hope, let's say.
I really hope.
I have no idea.
Yeah. Because this movie's problem is not the directing.
No, it's that it's written like... Gosh, I'm trying to think of a good example of like a something that made the same weird decisions. I don't know. It was executed with somebody who by somebody who really understands the original or just this kind of style of horror and the imagery of this, but written by, and I know the director had a co-writing credit, I believe, but there's like five
four
people.
Writers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the script was written like just not with the same understanding of the material. It was more of like, let's point at the things, and from the first Omen. I don't know. It just...
I get one of the writers is also the producer, but also a producer that's worked with her. Another of the writers is the writer of the remake of Firestarter, which isn't great, but also Vigil.
That was real bad.
Yeah, they also wrote The Vigil, and I think... Oh, they're the writer and director of Firestarter. And so, like, it just feels like there was a lot of fingers in the stew. And I think that, considering that, it came out all right. And I do like... There's some story beats I do like in this. Mm-hmm. Like, I like the impregnation reveal that it's like, oh, it already happened. Because you think that's what it's leading towards. And they're like, no.
No, just yeah, fucking, and then having Act 3
you're
be...
You're too late.
Having Act 3 be the birth.
Yeah.
And there's such a cool shot where it's her POV when she's strapped out of the gurney and they're wheeling her, and the paintings on the ceiling are changing.
Yeah.
And getting fucking way more intense, like you were saying, with the music. And then when she's wheeled into the operating theater, you see this huge... chandelier hanging in this, you can't really see anything, you can barely make out that she's in this kind of like stone like mausoleum or some shit,
yeah.
under some subterranean crypt she's gonna give birth in, but all you can really see, there's this the ring of the little flaming sconces on the chandelier up way in the background because it's hanging up higher on the ceiling, and then closer in the foreground there's this big white blinding circular light of the operating light. And that's all you can see.
It's great.
And it was just like, there's such an immediate gut punch of dread there because you're like, fuck, is the jackal going to come out or something? Like, I don't know. It was just like being pinned down, and that was all you could see in that point of view shot. Just there's so many excellent shots like that.
Yeah. And it's a lot of fun. It definitely is. And like, part of me is like, I don't know what to expect from an Omen film anymore. You know, like, they've made so many shitty sequels. that remake was pretty good.
It was
great casting on the remake.
Yeah. The remake was kind of... The remake felt more like kind of the way this film was written, if that makes sense. Like, the remake understood... Hey, we need to do all the same things, but let's like jazz it up a little bit for 2006. Let's let's have this guy's head get cut off in a way wackier fashion.
Yeah, the remake is almost like they're embarrassed of the original. Like, that's part of the I think the issue with the Omen is that it's quaint, I think, for new audiences. I think they're scared that it won't frighten people without jump scares. Because the original Omen doesn't really have jump scares.
No.
And it sort of relies on the imagination. It relies on what is some like twisted, messed up things you can think of. And to its credit, this movie seemed to know that. And they were like, we need to up the ante. I think that's something that that new Exorcist didn't do. Right. In the original Exorcist, there's a girl masturbating with a crucifix. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Like. And so it's like you have to really step up if you want to remake one of these. You know, you have to think modernly, but also think about what made that first one what it was. And I do feel like what's weird is that like the original Omen was not nearly as grotesque as this.
No.
But I do feel like that like birthing scene kind of making this like a horror movie, you know, made by a woman that's more directed for women, like, you know, pregnancy horror, shit like that. I think that was a decent idea. Obviously there's like Rosemary's Baby. There's all these other things that it, kind of shares that space with,
mm-hmm.
But I think she did the right thing there by going like, I'm going to try for some really terrifying imagery. Some really creepy plot points. Again, it felt like an extension of the Omen more than I expected it to be, you know?
Yeah, I think that's right. I think it's an extension is a good way to describe it, because I don't really think it like...
It felt more like a... Yeah.
It doesn't step it up, really. Like, it didn't feel like...
But it did feel modern.
It did feel like they modernized. It did feel modern, but it's like... it's like they were just more exploring that same sort of space, that same sort of tone of that like light hand, but light, not a light hand, but like light but oppressive. Like it always, it's always oppressive in The Omen.
Yeah.
And even that's that feeling is the way this film is directed, that feeling is always present.
Even the curtain jump scare, that actually reminded me of like Exorcist 3 a little bit, where it's like, oh, you're trying to do a little, like it felt like this director was watching all the old ones and going like, I'm gonna try to make it not just like The Omen, but like all these old ones, like Possession and Exorcist
like
3.
The 70s, like, yeah.
Yeah, and so like she was trying to do jump scares, which is a more modern idea, but trying to make them. The only one that I was like, come on, is when she's like staring down the hallway and that woman grabs her shoulder.
Yeah.
I was like, come on, that's a modern jump scare. Like, don't. But otherwise, I don't know. I thought she understood the assignment more than I realized you needed to make this, I guess. And so there's just, I don't know, there's a lot to love here.
Yeah, yeah, there definitely is.
I hope more people watch it, you know?
For sure, yeah, no, I definitely think it's worth watching.
Yeah.
It's just ultimately okay for
me. I think I wish the lesson that would be learned from this is that this style needs to sort of come back.
Yeah.
This style of horror can be modernized, because I feel like Hollywood is just scared that people don't care anymore about a more subtle horror tactics like this. And that's clearly wrong, you know?
Mm-hmm.
We're learning that more and more. So yeah, I don't know. A lot of fun. I don't think I have anything else to say about this.
No. That's all I had to say.
I'm excited to go rewatch some Omens.
I'm going to watch the sequels now. Shoot.
Yeah. Number 3. It's got our Dan Stevens.
No, I'm going to start with 4. I'm going to start 80s. With part 4, the made for TV one.
So 4 again. I remember that freaking me out. It has spoilers, a scene where a guy is hit with a wrecking ball and it's so stupid.
That's excellent.
Yeah, because they become final destinations. That's basically it. Where they the thing that the sequels glommed onto was that the devil kills you through a workplace accidents. He loves workplace accidents.
Yeah, it keeps his name out of the papers.
Yeah, and so there's a lot of that, the sequels. The second one has Lance Hendrickson in like one scene. It's really weird.
Excellent.
Yeah. Yeah, they aren't great. That's like, they kind of took something away from, like, because watching this film, I was like, not only is Damien going to be born, but spoilers, nothing really comes out of that. Like, that's the thing about the sequels, is like, the point of the end of the first one is you think in your head, and then the apocalypse happens, right? But when you make sequels, that's not, you can't just make apocalypse films. So it's just like, yeah, here comes the apocalypse, it's coming. I mean, not yet. Okay, new film, here it comes, it's coming. I mean, not yet. All right, new film.
Yeah,
and that's
we'll
it.
Get
like
there,
it's a
though.
Lot of edging the apocalypse.
Really edging doomsday.
Right, and it makes the Antichrist and the devil seem even less effective. Where you're like, man, they can't get this apocalypse going, huh? They're really fucking up.
I'm embarrassed for them, really.
Yeah, the devil is apparently just like kind of a dirtbag who can't get his shit together.
Just a real son of a bitch.
Yeah, yeah, he's just kind of lazing about.
Just a real lousy idiot.
Yeah.
That Prince of Darkness.
Yeah.
I think we're all done, Dave.
Yeah. I also just want to say, the first Omen, remember that monkey scene?
Vaguely.
I just want to point out, that scene's dumb.
I remember when they go to the zoo.
That's what I mean. And all the monkeys attack the car because Antichrist is in it. That shit's dumb. That's all. That's pretty great.
Pretty great.
Like, they should have brought back monkeys in this. Have a bunch of monkeys come get mad. All right. Now I'm just talking. Having fun with words. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Thank you.
We have a Patreon. Patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. GameFullyUnemployed. Two L's. Not gamefully unemployed. And if you go on there for just $5 a month, you get access to a bunch of exclusive podcasts. Tom and Jeff Watch Batman, Fox Mulder's Maniac, Star Trek The Next Futurama, Spiel Boys. Those are all very, you know, podcasts devoted to very specific things. We also have, like, custom We Just Watched, a tier where you can have us watch things, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe we should watch all the Omens.
We could.
Yeah. And then we watch movies every Friday night with our patrons as well, which also we could watch some of the Omen sequels, you know?
It's also true.
Why not?
It's also true. We also have a store. Head over to gamefleetunemployed.com where you can find a link to our Teespring store where we have all kinds of cool original artwork and designs you can get on t-shirts, mugs, stickers, posters, all sorts of things. So slap your Harbinger seeking peepers onto that. Yeah, I don't know.
Slap your jackal balls.
Your jackal balls. Yeah. I was trying to think of a different way to say Omen. And then I just fucked it all up, Dave. I fucked it all up. I should have gone for the jackal.
Yeah. Let's all go out. Let's fuck some jackals.
Jackal peepers. See, because the tapestry was his eyes, remember? And then,
oh, flaming jackal peepers.
Those caught fire at the end there.
Do you think they named the jackal?
Oh, man. I hope so.
I hope so, too.
Was it like Buddy? Like a dog's name?
I hope it was really cute. Yeah.
Like teacup.
Yeah, Buddy, a trooper or something. Yeah.
Yeah, Scout.
Scout. Oh, I want one of the priests to be like, my jackal. No. And it burns.
Yeah.
Someone's taking care of that jackal, right? Someone's cleaning its shit.
Yeah, no. There's the Rancor trainer is somewhere around there weeping quietly.
Yeah, I want to know that person's story.
Yeah, I want their story.
Yeah. All right, well, that's the sequel then.
There it.
Hey, listen, our music is produced by Chris Corlew. You can find him on twitter.com as the Corlew or go to shipwreckedsailor.bandcamp.com. Our channel artwork is produced by Michael Vincent Bramley. For more of his work, go to mvbramley.art. Our episode artwork is by Justin Brown, available on Twitter as Justin T. Brown or at artnessbyjustinbrown.com. And finally, additional artwork is by Starlene Hodge. You can find her work at starlenearts.com or on Twitter as StarleneX. Cool. Goodbye.